Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We're continuing our series in Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we're looking at that famous passage on the fruit of the Spirit. So as we start, let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for being able to meet even like this, Lord. And we ask that as we look at this passage, well known, that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Well, when you're out and about and you're walking around in the countryside, you see a plant perhaps in a hedgerow and you think, oh, I wonder what that is. And of course, you haven't a clue. Well, I've discovered this amazing new app for your phone. And it's called Seek. And all you do is open up the app, point your phone at an unknown plant or fruit, and bingo, it tells you what it is. It's brilliant. It's changed our little walks that we've been doing. I did actually have a confession here. I did try it on Helen when she wasn't looking, and it got it right, said she was human, so it does work. It's a clever little app. And what it does is it works out the characteristics that a certain plant contains and identifies it. And this got me thinking about what Jesus said. He said, didn't he, that each tree is recognised by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Well, we as Christians, followers of Jesus, are identified by the app as exactly that. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, says Jesus. Like the grape on a vine is expected from the grapevine, it's not unusual. That's what its job is. So if we claim to follow Jesus, we're expected to bear that identifying fruit. Well, quite a long time ago when I was a school teacher, everybody knew I was a Christian because, well, I told them. But telling them isn't enough. Because what they would do is they would watch and they watch me. And I think I had a particularly bad class. And I came out with a few expletives I shouldn't have done. You know, it was one of those bad days. You know, we've all had enough and, oh, yeah, one of them. And my colleague's response, and you a Christian, Andy? They were quick to jump on me as I produced this strange wild fruit and yet call myself Christian. And Paul is so clear about this in Galatians. Remember that the Galatians Christians were eager to return to a rules-based way of being right with God. And Paul won't have any of it at all. This wasn't the good news of Jesus. They were what you might call legalists. Legislation, laws, more rules won't change people into good folks. It's not a law that's outside of us, says Paul, that we need. It's love on the inside that makes the difference. A power from within which enables us to walk the walk, as Matthew put it the other week. And that power? Well, it's the Holy Spirit himself which all people receive when they come to Jesus, irrespective of race, of social standing, of gender, or of any other distinction that the 21st century wants to invent. Now, when we come to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, that's the start. That's the start of a battle within, verse 17 of chapter 5. Can you see it? For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. That conflict between our own selfish selves and against our desire to please God. Those fleshly desires, fruit of our sinful nature, Paul calls them. It's not just sexual immorality in verse 19, though that is included. But it's worship of other things instead of God, idolatry and witchcraft, verse 20a. Breakdown in society and personal relationships, verse 20b. And areas around booze, verse 20b as well. Binge parties, etc. And the warning that those who live like this ain't going to get into the kingdom of God, verse 21. And Paul draws up the battle lines here, flesh versus spirit. You know, sometimes when we first turn to Jesus, we expect to have it all sorted. It's, you know, it's exciting and we expect to be perfect. I know I did. But we soon realise that we're not. That we're not yet the finished article and probably, well, we never will be in this life. You see, producing those fruitful qualities in verses 22 and 23 requires cultivation. You know, just ask Dave Mack about his grapevines in his garden. But I must say, be prepared to stay at least an hour because, as he explains, so much effort goes into producing decent fruit. Now there's the rub. We receive God's Holy Spirit and he enables us to produce good fruit, but we need to put the effort in too. Not more rules, but a closer walk with God. This battle requires surrender. Not defeat, but our own will to God's will. The Spirit not only enables us to overcome, but he gives us the desire to overcome. And we must be continually checking ourselves. How do I look at that woman? How do I respond to being cut up on the magic roundabouts? Always self-controlled, I have to say, when I'm wearing my dog collar. How will I behave when out on the works Christmas party? How will I treat that really irritating person, that unlikable boss, that awkward neighbour? Will I respond defensively or judgmentally? So there's this battle within of the flesh versus the spirit. Are you engaged in it? Because it's the normal Christian experience and we have to cultivate the spiritual fruit and kill off the fleshly fruit. Crucify the sinful nature, verse 24. So it's not, as some would have us believe, let go and let God. It's surrendering, yes, but to the Holy Spirit and crucifying our sinful nature by our own decision. But without the Spirit, we're spiritually dead on the branch, stuck in a kind of black hole of self-loving desires. So what fruit should we be producing if we're walking with Jesus? Well, I'm going to look at verse 22, just a few: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness and goodness. And Alid will look at faithfulness, gentleness and self-control next week. So Paul starts with love, because all of those others spring out of love. And that the Greek word for love is agape. It's that kind of love, meaning divine love, a love which God has poured out in our hearts as a gift, a love which overflows out of our hearts, Godwards and towards others. Jesus speaks of this. A good man brings out the good things stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. God's gift of love overflowing in worship to God and love to others, like that living water springing up that Jesus mentions also. And when we live in this sphere, God's sphere, then we experience joy, delight in God for who he is, rather than despair and hopelessness. And we experience peace, love, joy and peace, that inward peace and sufficiency, which isn't affected by outward circumstances. That peace Paul mentions in Philippians, the peace of God from the God of peace. Now, don't we need that today? But the deepest peace is the peace with God himself. Peace with God himself when we're reconciled to him. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Listen to this. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Reconciled to God and clothed with his righteousness. No need for more rules. So the way of love, joy and peace is true freedom. And it's not easy, of course. Of course it's not. But you know what? It's the only way to live a fulfilled life. God's way. Life in the Spirit. I don't know if you're feeling empty, if you're wondering what life's all about, what its purpose is. Here it is. When we come to Jesus and we commit to him, he changes us from within by filling us with his love, joy and peace. That's what his Spirit produces, a fruit in us, in our hearts. Oh, how we need him. How we need him today. And that love, joy and peace overflows to others. Our next fruit is patience, the ability to face trouble without going off the deep end. To respond to others in a Christ-like way. Kindness, to serve one another practically. Sometimes when we don't feel like it, or we feel vulnerable or uncomfortable, but we have the security of knowing who we are in Christ and that he is with us. Goodness. Being Christian people, people with integrity, consistent and fair, not hypocrites. And this fruit, it sounds impossible, but it's not. It needs cultivating. It needs a good dose of that spiritual manure. And just to point out that we're not talking about natural gifts here, by the way. And what we're prone to do is misinterpret those natural gifts and abilities for fruit of the Spirit, that they are signs of Christ-likeness. They're not. To cultivate that fruit, we need to bring ourselves under the Word of God. Ask ourselves continually, is this what God wants? Keeping short accounts with God, as Christine has reminded us. Praying at all times, often, even if we're just wandering around having a quick chat with the Lord. Strangling those things which get in the way and produce bad fruit in our lives rather than good fruit for God. Continually reminding ourselves that we belong to Christ, that our acceptance and approval from God isn't about our character or actions, but based on his character and his actions through Jesus saving us and giving us his Spirit when we turn to him. So it's all about his gifts to us and our determination to walk with him. All of it is of grace, undeserved gifting and merit. I don't know about you, but I am so challenged and it's so practical. And we have a lifetime to put this into practice. So imagine I had an app on my phone able to spot the Christian by the fruit they produced. Would it identify you? Would it identify me?